Got a busy hour for you. Joining us on the phone is the president and CEO of the Indiana Chamber of Commerce. It's our good friend, Kevin Brinegar. Kevin, good morning. You were iced in yesterday or today. How's life in the big city?
Well, north of Indianapolis, where I live, it was a sheet of ice. It's pretty treacherous. It was a little sad and a little funny to watch my dogs run outside and wipe out on the sidewalk. It was that glazed over, but given that forecast you just gave, I think I'm going to Bloomington for spring break.
Come on down, as Chris Lemonis, our baseball coach, refers to it. We're the South Beach of the Big Ten Conference, and anything south of Interstate 70 sometimes gets us that break in the weather that we're so so happy to enjoy. But we do have some school systems around here and the surrounding counties that are either on a delay or Spencer Owens not even going this morning. So somebody got some stuff, and then obviously if you saw the Indianapolis news last night, yeah, there were some slick spots up there, so be careful if you're out getting your newspaper and the dogs. Oh man, that's Inman, how many dogs do you have now? Are you up to three?
We're capped at three. Yes.
Capped at three.
Three Labradors.
I'm capped at three as well.
Ah, Kevin's a man after my own heart.
There you go.
Three allowed, but of each color.
I black and yellow on my end, so yes, completely bonded with you right now, man.
Labrador up close. I like this. This is great.
Completely not what you were expecting this morning.
No, but I'll take it because they're great. They're great dogs. And, and when you say Labrador, everybody just smiles anyhow. So that's the fun part. But Kevin, it's a busy time. Are we at the halfway point? Tell us where we're at in the legislative session right now and how we've gotten to where we're at.
Sure. Early last week, the Senate finished up work on Senate bills. The House finished up work on a House bill, so any bill that didn't clear their house of origin is now dead. There are about 300 bills left still alive out of almost 1,000 that we started with. They took a three-day break, mid-session break, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday last week, and today they will start the second half of the session up in earnest with committee hearings. The Senate will be working on the House bills that are still alive, and the House will be working on the Senate bill still alive. And things that are still alive are the big workforce development bills, House Bill 1002 and Senate Bill 50, which at some point will be merged into one bill. The Sunday sales bill is still alive. The cold beer at other retail outlets legislation did not get out of committee. And so that is dead at this point. We have some important tax legislation from the business community's perspective, particularly with respect to software as a service, clarifying that we don't really tax services in Indiana, and trying to clarify that vis-a-vis some rulings from the Department of Revenue. So that's still alive, and other things. But I think, you know, there isn't that one big thing this session compared to like last year with the transportation infrastructure. But, you know, every bill that is filed is important to somebody. And so, you know, certain things have gone by the wayside and other things are still alive. The so-called hate crimes legislation did not make it out of committee in the Senate. It was intensely debated, but the Senate Republican caucus could not come up with an agreement within their own caucus members, and so that will have to wait another year.
Now, wasn't there a something to do with a smoking, either moving up the age or something, where you guys were butting heads with the legislature? Give me an update there.
Sure. The Indiana Chamber is part of a group called the Alliance for Healthier Indiana, which includes the State Hospital and Medical Association's Anthem, and some of the other smoking reduction and heart and lung associations. And we had a multi-pronged policy proposal that included raising the cigarette tax per pack by $1.50. That was aimed at reducing smoking and also creating a higher barrier of entry for young people. And it also included raising the legal age of smoking from 18 to 21. The purpose of that was to help prevent young people from ever starting smoking, because the vast majority of people who smoke throughout their lives start before they're age 21. And, you know, we're trying with the tax increase and the raising the age, trying to squeeze off that pipeline There's a movement that's starting across the country with five states now have raised the legal age of smoking. That would, by going from 18 to 21, that would also prevent seniors in high school who can currently legally buy tobacco products from buying them and distributing them in the schools. And in fact, I've got the lady that cuts my hair is a friend. Her husband is a middle school teacher, and he said they're having a terrible trouble with kids bringing vaping devices into the school and even literally smoking them in the classroom and blowing the steam or that comes out of that down in their shirts and doing it in the restrooms. And so that was part of our overall effort.
Well, the million-dollar question is, who's against this? Who thinks?
Well, the folks who sell tobacco products.
All right. Well, there you go.
The tobacco companies and the retail outlets, and some legislators who just on general principle think, you know, say, hey, you can, you know, at 18 you can go off and fight for your country and die for your country. You know, you ought to be able to decide whether you want to smoke or not. But in reality, we had in committee two individuals, retired generals from the military, who said military bases are going smoke-free. They're not discounting cigarette products, tobacco products like they used to. And they said that if they have recruits that come in and are already smokers, they have to detox before they can even start basic training. So this military argument really was fairly specious. But we got the bill out of committee 9-0. It was ready for a vote on the floor. And then leadership pulled a procedural move on it and reassigned the bill for further consideration to the Ways and Means Committee, which had already conducted its last hearing. And so by sending it there, effectively killed the bill. So we were pretty disappointed. But I talked to Speaker Bosma, and he's interested in this issue. He understands that our health metrics are in the bottom third of the states where there's smoking, obesity, or opioid use. And he has pledged to author a resolution to create a study committee to focus on this and better educate legislators in general, just not those that are on the Public Health Committee, and help us make a run at this again next year.
Kevin Brinegar is our guest this morning. He's the president and CEO of the Indiana Chamber of Commerce. Jim Inman Jr. is also riding shotgun. It's lab day here on a Monday. We got everybody, got the dogs barking and everybody going. Now, the other issues that we know everybody is talking about is opioid crisis. Thank you.
That's not
hard to say.
That's why I'm here.
It's not a laughing matter at all.
Not.
The strain on the economy, the strain on business, the strain on healthcare, that and smoking, it would seem like these are two no-brainer ideas to move stuff in the right direction. But you're finding some blowback on that side as well, correct?
Not so much blowback on the opioids. I should say on the smoking, the reason we're interested and involved in this is because I use the School of Public Health estimates that smoking employees cost employers some $6 billion a year in additional health costs, absenteeism, and lost productivity. Think of this. The average smoker in the workplace, in addition to the vacation and holidays and everything that the employer gives them, takes an additional 3 weeks off in the form of smoke breaks. And that's real lost productivity, real lost money to the employer. So that's why we're interested in this on behalf of the employer community. And then with respect to the opioids, Kelley School of Business actually estimates that that costs future employers about $1.2 billion a year, again, in absenteeism and just losing people that you've trained because they can't function in the workplace. And so it's a critical issue. And we're encouraged. We made an announcement on Friday to the Governor's Commission on Opioids that the Indiana Chamber pledges to be the business partner in attacking the opioid problem. We're going to be gathering research, best practices on what works best in the workplace, helping to train supervisors to recognize people who have addiction problems, not just opioids, but opioids in particular. Where to find substance abuse treatment, and then how to best integrate employees who've been through treatment back into the workplace with an anti-stigma campaign so that they're not ostracized or, you know, treated like lepers when they come back into the workplace.
And Governor Holcomb obviously has been at the forefront of this. He realizes this is a big deal. This is a big problem.
Yeah, he does, and discovered that by all of the traveling that he did around the state during this campaign, particularly in the more rural areas. And he said he just heard it everywhere he went, and you know, it got his attention, and decided that if he got elected, which he did, then he would make that a top priority. And that he has. And there's a lot of information gathering and sharing from local law enforcement, hospitals, so you can see where an outbreak is or where bad, dangerous products, heroin, has happened. We've had some places where, we've had 10, 12 people die in one community over one weekend because they got tainted heroin.
Kevin, I want to ask you something. I heard Peggy Mayfield speak about a couple of weeks ago. She mentioned a proposal that she was working on, some legislation that would help give some incentive to businesses who would hire felons. And I know that
yes,
kind of can tie in with this opioid thing. Do you know anything about the progress of that at all?
Yeah, I think that's incorporated in House Bill 1002. And it shows how low our unemployment rate is and how desperate, really, the employers are to find skilled workers, and so they're taking sort of non-traditional approaches, including looking at returning veterans more clearly and returning offenders. I mean, Indiana releases over 20,000 offenders out of the correctional system every year, and that's a source of potential employees, particularly those that are getting training prior to being released and developing some skills, which the correctional system is trying to do to help reduce recidivism. And then the other thing employers are doing is starting to really make connections into the schools to make children aware of job opportunities, good paying living wage jobs that don't necessarily require a 4-year bachelor's degree, but perhaps an associate's degree or a 1-year certificate in an industry-recognized area.
Kevin Brenninger is our guest this morning. He's the president and CEO of the Indiana Chamber of Commerce, and obviously a big story that's been making news here over the last couple of months is the Amazon Corporation and their new, I don't even know what to call this, really.
Headquarters,
I think.
Well,
it's a new headquarters.
Headquarters number two,
and the system of determining where it's going to be. I guess there's a list of finalists. Indianapolis is on that list of finalists. Mm-hmm. Do you have any extra information on that, or has there been any angle that your group has taken welcoming, presenting, or doing anything else? Because this sounds like an absolute monster conglomerate for wherever it's going to land.
Yes, indeed. You're talking about 50,000 jobs within just a few years in a second headquarters facility. And in fact, Indiana is one of 20 cities that are considered a finalist. I suspect that list will be pared down again. And there, it was a major effort to put together proposals. It's kind of analogous to the Super Bowl bid, quite frankly. Mm-hmm. And I have been involved, in fact, was exchanging emails yesterday asking being asked to provide some information on that, and unfortunately, they have non-disclosure agreements. So I can't talk about the details, but there are a lot of very important, talented people that have come together to work on this for the benefit of Indiana and maybe Central Indiana in particular. It's hard to say that, nobody can really say, oh, we're going to get it for sure. I mean, it's still 20-1 odds. But as I look at some of the cities that are on that list, I could easily put Indiana or Indianapolis rather in the top five. Say I'm confident that we have a better position than a number of these other cities, but are we the absolute best? And do we know exactly what the determining factors will be in the criteria? I don't think we do yet, but we're putting our best foot forward, and we're getting a lot of buzz. There was a New York Times article about Indianapolis bid, and why not Indianapolis? That was in that paper a week or so ago. So we're putting our best foot forward, and we'll see what happens.
The only other question is, has Amazon announced a timeline of when they're going to pare it down, or is this kind of just whenever they feel like it?
Not that I'm aware of. Others that are more directly or closely involved in communications with them may know that, but I'm not aware. We're sort of waiting to see what the next step is.
And that next step could, again, being, like you said, you've got a 1 in 20 chance, but that's better than having a 0 in 20 chance. And
well, it's better than having a 1 in, whatever, 238 or whatever, or maybe more cities that originally put bids in.
And Indianapolis, so, one of them, exactly right. And that's a whole, 50,000 people. You talk about housing, you talk about jobs, you talk about services, you talk about... that's
yeah, you talk about an economic stimulus.
My goodness. And that would be something. So we'll keep an eye on that.
I'm sure if we received that, the impact would stretch all the way down to Bloomington for sure.
Oh, no doubt.
Oh, absolutely.
Where are you going to put all those people? 50,000 people is a lot of people.
That's a whole new town. Yeah, I mean,
that's a whole new town, exactly. Mm-hmm.
And a whole new infrastructure to some degree, so it would be dare to dream. I guess that's what it is, and we'll keep an eye on all of that. We'll also keep an eye on what's happening in the legislative session, and we'll get caught up with you next month to figure out how this all washed itself out. And we always appreciate your time, my man. Thank you.
Well, happy to do so, and really appreciate the opportunity to visit with you and your listeners.